Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show. Clint Sterner's Football at 4.
All right, Clint Sterner is out today nursing a sore throat, and hopefully he's getting better. But in for him is 12-year NFL vet, former Pro Bowler Wade Smith, former Houston Texan, is in with us today. And Wade, David Culley, he was on the other night with Mark Vandermeer and John Harris on Texans All Access, which follows us each night at 6 o'clock. But he was on with them, and he said some things that maybe kind of caught your eye. This was David Culley on Texans All Access.
I was all over the place. And I'm going to tell you, the reason I was all over the place is that because this is an excellent coaching staff. And it was basically a learning experience for me because I found myself a couple of times in practice, like you said, I was all over the place. Then all of a sudden, I've been every place. Now I'm saying, now where do I go? What do I do? You know, I've learned that basically I'm the head coach. It has been a great experience for me being able to see the big picture. You know, being a head coach, that's a pretty good gig, being able to see everybody do those things in practice now.
All right, Wade, what was it that jumped out to you when you were listening to David Culley kind of go through those different elements?
It was very surprising to me that he didn't realize where's the next place to go. Very surprising to me. I haven't heard a head coach say that. In one regard, I listen to it and I say to myself, all right, David Culley is the type of dude that is not really caring about what someone might think of him when you're talking about, you know, your role as the head coach. Because most head coaches are the ones that put the practices together and it's their vision of what we're going to do for that day. And so they have a plan of where they're going to go from plan A, B to C. And for him to put that out there, there's going to be a lot of people that look at that and say, well, if you didn't know what you was going to do next, then apparently you must not have been putting this practice together, which could very well be the truth. But I don't think David Culley minds that. I don't think he minds that people might necessarily look at him as being inexperienced. I think he knows he's inexperienced as a head coach. He's willing to admit that.
Your experience of eight coaches being around, did you ever notice a coach not put together?
I've never seen a coach, you know, wandering aimlessly about trying to figure out what to do. They have a method to their madness. Whatever they're going to do, there are certain things that they want to look at. When you have a vision overall of a team, and you're saying, all right, I want my offensive line to play like this. I want my defensive line to be these type of guys. I know my DBs, you know, we're, you know, OTAs.
I'm not doing that.
And I want to get you riled up there.
I'm not riled up.
I know how that upsets you and Clint. But
I'm not riled up.
When you're going through practices over a period of time, there's certain things that you know that this is where we need to improve with this group, with that group. So I want to check these things. I want to make sure what we emphasized in the meeting room going into the practice are actually getting implemented on the field. So it was kind of – I've never heard that put that way before by any head coach, that I was trying to figure out what to do next or where to go. And it's got to be concerning to some people. I think in this case, the way that the staff is put together – he's letting his coaches coach. Mm. And I don't think it necessarily is going to detract away from the improvement of the individual players.
How concerning is it to you? Because that, to me, when I hear that, I'm like, okay, I've already had my thoughts walking into it in terms of, you know, how much of a head coach is he? Like, how much is he going to show? And many times you hear him, you know, you're not reminded of head coaches that you're used to. To me, that feels concerning that there's elements, there's a potential that he's not putting together the practices or there's no plan. Because I remember Clint, he went to OTAs, and which this is one of the first teams I've ever seen that seems to be GM-driven. When Nick Caserio was out there, he said Nick Caserio's at a certain position group. He had his pad out. You can see him. There's a plan. He moves to the next one. There's a plan. He moves to the next one. That feels concerning to me that the head coach is just seem to be flying by it. And I'm from you. Does that concern you? Should that concern Texans fans?
I think it would concern me greatly if the team was put together in a manner where I said we have a chance to win a bunch of ball games this year, and your head coach wasn't necessarily the one that's actually putting things together and the one that's the visionary of how things are going to go each and every day. This is Caserio's – every impression I get that this is Caserio's deal. And he, from beginning to end, this is his show. And so, you know the role that David Culley is playing, he's playing his role. And he's good with his role. And if everybody are in their particular role and they're good with whatever that is, and they don't switch up and they don't, you know, you're Mr. Positive guy for your first 3 months on the job, and then all of a sudden you try to turn into a hard case and try to get after guys in a negative way, that's a quick way to lose the crew. That's the quick way to lose a group. But if you're the same guy every day, and, you know, and everything is starting from Caserio and is going on down, and is being delegated out to the various position coaches, and that's how they conduct themselves and do business, then improvement can be made, development can get made, and things can get done. It's just a different method of going about doing things.
Blue 80, easy, white 90.
All right, a big thought is the transition that a lot of players are going to have, especially on the defensive side. And there are three guys that jump out to me that played outside linebacker roles for the Texans last year that remain on the team. And they are Whitney Mercilus, who they've said has come in lighter, Jacob Martin, who's always thought to be undersized, and then Jonathan Grenard, who they drafted in the third round. Of those three, who do you feel, and you can attest to this, you played some tackle, you played O-line for 12 years. Who do you think of those three will make the best transition to being able to put their hand in the ground, lining up as a defensive end that could be the most productive?
See, this is the thing. When you ask the question, who can be the most productive, who's going to get the most opportunity, one? And two, all of these guys have put their hand in the dirt before. I don't believe the transition is as big as maybe it's being made out to be. When you're a person that rushes the passer, it's one thing to go from a three-point stance to standing up and having a drop in the coverage. That transition, I think, is a lot tougher than going the other way. Because anytime you're a stand-up linebacker, sometimes in the four-down front, you're going to put your hand in the dirt. So rushing the passer in a three-point stance is not anything that is abnormal to any of these guys. They've done it at some point in their career, and they've done it for extensive amount of time. So I don't think that part of it is really a big deal at all. Who's going to be the most productive? I mean, the skill set of Jacob Martin tells you that he can get after the quarterback using his speed rush. Can he build a second move? Can he add a second move to his repertoire to where now he can go speed to power, or he can have a spin move off of his speed, or he can do something, a hand swipe, an overhand swipe, something.
Right now, he just got one move.
Right now, he's just a speed guy. So, and if you're just the one thing, I don't care who the offensive lineman is, they can figure out a way to slow you down and stop you. But if you, it's just like baseball. If you're a one pitch guy, unless you're Randy Johnson, unless you're somebody that, you know, Nolan Ryan is throwing, you know, 100 miles an hour plus, and has that dominating of a pitch, Most guys are going to be able to hit you in baseball if you just got one pitch. Same thing in football. If you're just a speed guy, it's not going to work out for you to where you can be productive. And when I say productive for a pass rusher in a 4-3 defense, I'm talking about, you know, 7-plus sacks. I don't see any of these three guys being a 7-plus sack guy. And so I don't know. Hopefully I'm not throwing a wet blanket on you, but
no, I just
wanted
your honest opinion.
Yeah, I'm just, you know, when I see those three names, I don't see those three names, and I say to myself, yeah, they're gonna do work this year. I just don't.
Who's gonna do the most work?
The guy that gets the most reps is gonna get the most work. He's gonna do the most work.
It almost feels like,
because all of these guys, talent wise, ability wise, and you talk about age, all these different things, craftiness. There's not one guy out of those three that I'd put over the other. And Jonathan Grenard, he has the most physical talent, but he's the youngest. And so, you know, Whitney Mercilus is the oldest and is going to be the craftiest, but, you know, his body might be breaking down. Jacob Martin is the most athletic and the fastest, but he's only got one move. So it's hard for me to put one guy in front of the other.
It almost feels like maybe their size, the difference in size is more than maybe just the transition. Like if they are on the end every time going up against tackles in the, 260 range, Whitney's 258, I think he's listed as, that feels like, I would think, even a bigger concern.
But those guys were going against tackles when they're outside linebackers. Yeah, I think these guys are rushing from the open end the most.
So it won't be a big difference.
No, that's what I'm saying. Going from standing up to being in a three-point stance, you're still rushing against the left tackle. Most of the time, you're still having to set the edge against the left tackle, or you're having to set the edge against the tight end. Whether you're standing up or in a three-point stance, it's still the same thing. You're still going against the same player. So your weight fluctuations, like, you're going to be lighter if you're having to drop back in coverage more often than you would if you were just putting your hand in the dirt and going forward all the time. So like I said, I think we're making a little bit too much out of
the transition that, from the D-line.
The transition that you got to worry about is, how does the middle linebacker, having two guys in front of him as opposed to the one guy in front of him, and like the middle linebacker in a 3-4 and a middle linebacker in a 4-3, it's almost night and day in how things kind of shake out when you're trying to defend the run. It's night and day in that aspect. So, but the pass rusher wise, man, I don't see much difference between the three guys as far as how productive they can be.
Omaha Blue.
Former Houston Texan Jadeveon Clowney is filling it again. He's in Cleveland and feels pretty good about it. And he said to the press that he's very excited about the players that he's joining on the defensive line. This group, which includes Myles Garrett, Tack McKinley, Malik Jackson, and Andrew Billings. Clowney said, anytime you've got that going on, it's a good group. I'm looking forward to it. It reminds me of San Fran a couple years ago that went to the Super Bowl with that defense. I'm thinking we can do that up front. That feels like that's a bit wishful. I mean, because I'm remembering that's Nick Bosa, Armstead, Buckner, D. Ford. I mean, that defensive line was nuts. And Myles Garrett, to me, is the only one that I get the feel that kind of stands up with at least three of those guys in that group.
Well, I think, I mean, if you're getting Malik Jackson from back when he was with the Jacksonville Jaguars, then he's in that category. And if you get before he went to Jacksonville, when he got the big contract. Yeah. Or if you're getting Clowney at his best, then he's in that category. But, you know, there's a lot of ifs. There's a lot of, you know, if somebody can regain their form, if they can stay healthy, to be in that category. He's excited about being in a new environment, and he's got some help. He didn't really have that much help at all last year in Tennessee, and he was injured last year. Can he stay healthy? That's the biggest thing for Clowney. They're going to be a similar type of ball club as that San Francisco team, because that San Francisco team could run the ball on anybody. That's what the Cleveland Browns are going to do. They're going to get leads early in ball games. That's going to give them opportunities to get after the quarterback. So in that regard, I can see some. They run the same offense. I can see the similarities there. But as far as being that productive, I'd be highly surprised if they could pull that off.
A lot of times, our producer Tyler Milner, I most of the time I don't listen to him. When he suggests things, I really let it go out of
show.
I'm just being honest. I let it go out of my thoughts because most of the times it doesn't make sense. But I'm listening this time. Apparently, Astros Twitter is going ham, and we have to discuss that coming up next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
Clint's out today nursing an injured throat. He has no voice. Hopefully, he's getting better. But in his place today, 12-year NFL vet, former Pro Bowler, former Houston Texan. Well, maybe are you just always a Houston Texan? That's what. Yeah, you
once a Texan, always a Texan. Man.
No, stop saying
man.
Former Houston Texan.
Well, no, you have to say former because I don't play for them right now. Yeah, you have to say former. That's fine.
Wade Smith, always a Texan. Wade Smith is in. And listen, Tyler has been on us with this since probably 9 o'clock this morning. I believe it's the first time I got it. I got mentioned to it, and he's pushing it. I mean, he called me. Tyler never calls. Called me about this fella, and this story is up right now on Sports Radio 610. You can check it out and go to the website to look at it. The story is up, but basically. They have this MLB writer, Ryan Spader, has posted a lengthy thread saying that the Yankees, Beltre, Chase Utley, the Royals, several teams had, as I believe you've said, Wade, pushed the envelope, as baseball always does, or just flat-ass cheated. A lot of it, and there's a story and accounts on here talking about the Royals were the first team with full analytics and video department close to their dugout, doing so in 2015, the same year they won a world championship. The Yankees had cameras, according to Ryan Spader, MLB writer. The Yankees had cameras in left, center, and right, all pointing towards the pitcher's glove rather than the catcher. The Dodgers had an employee who was caught setting up cameras at Minute Maid Park wearing an MLB polo shirt.
But what are they going to say now?
A few things. And Astros, right, would you say Astros Twitter is going off about this?
Oh, absolutely. This it's dominating thing. the timeline.
And so, Wade, of course, you're going to jump in, but I've got to push this right towards Tyler. And I'm not being an ass at all when I ask you this. But what is this doing for you? Because when I say this to you, I feel like you would be a part of Astros Twitter because you're participating in it.
Right.
And I saw your latest damn tweet of, do we now believe that the 2007 Astros are being the scapegoat of Major League Baseball? But what does this do for you?
Yeah, and I mean, some people out there would say that I'm being the lawyer for the Astros and wasting some time and energy.
Well, no, what do you mean by like, some people?
Wait. Landry said you were.
Thank you.
Lawyer.
We don't do some people, but, bro. Not when I'm on the show. You either call them out or don't bring them up.
Yes, sir. Landry Locker was the guy who said it. So, yeah, I mean, what it does for me is what I've been saying from the beginning, and that is, yes, of course, the Astros stole signs. They acknowledged that they stole signs, but this is something that has been going on to one degree or another for not only the last several years, but the last several decades. I mean, you have Jack McDowell saying the White Sox and Tony La Russa had a camera in center field in the 80s, But this kind of stuff just goes untalked about and unnoticed because the MLB and Rob Manfred needed a scapegoat. They couldn't handle any more bad publicity. They didn't want another steroid era controversy. And because the Astros won in 2017 and the Rat King of Oakland fires decided to talk about it, they became the face of something that was going on across the league that year and every year. So, and so now, so hopefully, this is the beginning of everyone understanding that it wasn't a Houston thing. It was a Major League Baseball thing.
So that's what you're fired up about, is that
yes,
it's just a Houston. It has been pushed as just that the Astros are the lone cheaters.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Let me ask you something, though, Tyler. Like, do you encounter this in real life, or is this only a social media deal where you come across people that talk down on Astros?
Oh, no, I absolutely encounter it, especially with my friends up in Dallas. Any kind of Rangers, Arlington Rangers fans out there, I get it from them all the time.
I'm a Rangers fan. You never heard me say anything about it.
No, I know.
I'm just wondering. I'm just, because I've never in real time, in real life, came across somebody and they were like, yeah, not anybody that has any sense. Like, baseball is a game that people habitually line step. That's what they do. Like, that is literally what baseball is. I don't want to say it's built off of it, but it's a foundational piece of the game, of them trying to figure out ways to get over, push the envelope, to sure, gain an edge. And so why it's such a big deal and why the Astros got singled out, it's because a player on the Astros snitched and opened up Pandora's box on everybody. And so it's like, all right, that team, since your team, you know, had the snitch come out, now you're going to pay. But anybody that's paying attention would know that the Astros, that's not why they won. They don't want to give them credit because their team lost. They got beat, you know,
because I understand that. Because if I were the Dodgers or Dodgers fans or Yankees,
yeah,
I would be reacting the same way.
As those.
Towards the Astros. Like, yes, you cost me a chance.
But that doesn't make any sense because you know your team does the same things.
But those players came out.
That's why I don't understand that part.
Like, you have the players on the Dodgers.
Which was really weird.
Yeah.
Really weird.
That's the worst part.
I did not understand that, why the players were so hard on one another.
No, I didn't know.
When they know that the players come up with ways to game the system all the time.
No, I agree with that. I'm just, if I'm a Dodger or Yankee fan.
Yeah.
And
is this the part, is that the aspect of being a fan?
Like, maybe.
Like, it's not in your heart of hearts, you know that, hey, this is what we do in this game, but hey, I'm still going to call you on it because that's part of me being a fan. I'm going to make you feel like you're less than and that you didn't fully win it so you can't fully celebrate the fact that you beat my team.
Like, to me, especially hearing from a lot of former players who felt like the Astros may have pushed the boundaries a little bit further than everybody else was, to where a point where, especially the Kershaw game, where he threw like 50 breaking balls, mm-hmm, and we watched him when he was here against the Astros when they didn't know the breaking balls were coming and how many swings he got. No Astro player swung at it. If I'm a fan, I feel like that's going to stick with me in the World Series. Like, I get that. Now, I'm with you. I can't believe the players went about it in that form or fashion, because I think it's led to this. I'm just trying to get an understanding from Tyler and other fans, because I had a hard time relate. If I'm the Astros, I'm an Astros fan. All right, damn, we got caught. They cheated. We got caught. But like, it seems there is real anger that comes through when you, damn it, see? Like, to me, it'd be like, all right, man, they got caught up too. Like, I'm just having a hard time to relate to how it almost feels like it's justification or something to you.
No, it's not justification. It's just the fact that they were made the face of something that they weren't alone in. And I mean, we all see it.
But isn't somebody always going to be the face of something?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, but dude, I mean, we all see when they go on the road this year, the blow up trash cans being thrown around, fans booing Altuve whenever he was one of the guys that didn't even participate in the sign stealing. It illegitimizes their championship when it shouldn't. Because everybody was doing it. So is it how are they made out to be the cheaters of the sign-stealing scandal when this kind of crap was going on across the league?
Because they're the ones that were caught. They were the ones that were caught.
Okay, but that's what I'm saying. Now it seems like maybe we are going to have more information that shows these other teams being, quote, caught.
True. But what is that going to do for you? That's my thing.
I just told it shuts anyone up that tries to illegitimize the championship. It's exactly what it does.
But my thing is this. People are going to talk regardless. Yeah, they're not taking the championship away.
Yeah.
You're the World Series champion in 2017.
Oh, yeah.
To me, seeing the Astros going around and beat up on teams that use all of these trash cans and all this stuff, to me, it's like we were great then and we're great still now without the trash can. So, like, if the Astros would have fallen off the map after they used it, then all of these words could bite. If the Astros were my team, and then all of a sudden after they cheated and got caught, they weren't the same caliber team anymore, then it would hurt because I knew, like, well, the only reason we won is because of that. They've been dominant ever since. Like, they still go to the plate, and they're the best team in baseball when it comes to hitting the ball.
Facts.
So, like, to me, that's just people just talking. Like, y'all are just talking, but at the end of the day, you don't have Altuve on your team. You don't have Correa on your team. You don't have Alvarez. You don't have Gurriel. You don't have Brantley. So, shut up. Like, that's so, to me, like, I wouldn't take any offense to it. I just wouldn't, because we still got all those goons, and they're still picking on all of these pitchers without the apparent help.
From the text line, Show is having a hard time understanding because he isn't knowledgeable about baseball. Just stay quiet when baseball comes up. They weren't caught. They were snitched by the butthurt mediocre rat. Not that they were caught. After they were snitched, they were caught. And then there was an investigation. Now, I know about baseball. I'm just trying to figure out why.
Do people feel like you don't know about baseball? When I listen to you talk about, like, random-ass stats from 1989 and remember these. Like, where is that coming from? I don't understand.
Hey,
that.
Man, they put people
That's
in the
really
box.
That's really weird.
They put people in the box, right?
I wonder why that is. That's just weird to me.
My thing is, if my team cheated, and I'm not saying anybody's wrong or nothing. I'm just saying my team cheated, you know, it's going to be like, all right, man, they got caught.
I'm not saying they didn't. I'm just saying everyone else is now hopefully going to, it's going to be known that they should be caught too.
The best example I can give for me the closest is I'm a Kansas basketball fan. I know Bill Self is cheating. I know he is paying players up and down this bad boy, and they're going to get hit with hard sanctions coming up.
And he was cheating when he was playing against Memphis, and they shouldn't have their championship.
Sure was. But we know that Memphis was as well. With Derrick,
no
Rose.
Question. No, he wasn't. Derrick Rose wasn't cheating. That was bull. That was bull. We can go back and talk about that a different day. That was bull. That was a whole other thing. Yeah, you hit a nerve.
It was because
that's an untrue fact. But Memphis in general was cheating.
When
yes.
Kansas gets suspended, I'm not gonna say, well, damn, Duke is sitting here just rolling through and paying Zion and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna be like, well,
they got caught.
They got us. Like,
they all
know
cheat.
It. And,
the good teams, they cheat.
Boy, this is jumping through. Astros Twitter going off. I love it when Tyler gets himself good and emotional. Your chance to win $1,000 coming up in 15 minutes. All right, what would it take? What would it take for you to trade Deshaun Watson right now before training camp? We'll discuss that next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show.
All right. Still the biggest story and the thought from a lot of Houston sports fans are, what are the Texans going to do with Deshaun? When is a trade going to happen? And when can we expect this drama with Deshaun Watson to move in another place? And anytime there is something with another quarterback, people wonder and have concern, does this mean this is where Deshaun's going to go? Does this mean this is where Deshaun's going to go? And yesterday, Tua, the quarterback for the Miami Dolphins, had himself a bad performance, threw five interceptions in his mini-camp practice that the Dolphins decided to have. He threw five interceptions in that mini-camp practice, and now a lot of folks are, oh, man, we start to put together what became another storm when Nick Caserio said, oh, there could be a movement by training camp with Deshaun Watson, what people pulled from the interview that Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast did earlier in the week. And then you combine that, ooh, look what the Dolphins, they've got the trade compensation to go get Deshaun Watson. They need a quarterback. They're a quarterback away. So many people are piecing that together. And I jump to this point. I still believe, Wade, for the Texans, that the best move possible is to wait until the end of the season. If it were me, the Texans, and I know I don't run the Texans, my thought would be, boy, Deshaun's not going to play football this year because I'm going to wait until the end of the year when I feel like I can have the most amount of teams that would bid on him to trade for him. Because to me, that feels like that's going to be a place where I could create the most value. There is risk there, obviously. There's risk that things take a turn legally with his situation, that he just becomes completely untradeable at some point. I would be willing to take that risk, that by the time the season ends and you know exactly what the picks are and you know where all of the potential suitors will be, and I think there will be more than they are right now, that is, to me, the best move for the Texans, in my opinion. I think that. So I don't even think the thought of trading him right now, even if the Dolphins came to them with something, is the right move, which Nick Caserio has said is the right move for the Texans.
See, I disagree with that. And the reason I disagree with that is this, man. Like, if the Dolphins put out an offer on the table that's a legitimate offer that is multiple first-round picks, second-round picks, a potential quarterback in Tua, you take that deal. And I know that you – I understand that you're talking about how you may have more suitors in the offseason. You may not have more suitors in the offseason. There's nothing to say that you for sure – are going to have a better deal in the offseason than you would have now. And if you make the trade now, if you make the trade before training camp, per se, okay, that's $10 million that you're not paying Deshaun Watson. You're saving money in that regard. Because in your scenario, you're going to pay him $10 million to stay away, and he's just going to be at the house chilling. And you're paying him that money, and you're going to wait till later to make a deal and hopefully things work out with other franchises. If you have other franchises that potentially could want to have a quarterback come in, well, what if Jalen Hurts plays well? What if Tua plays well? Those are two of your options that are viable options of places to go that have the most assets to trade that might no longer be in the market for a quarterback. If you try to see what happens in Denver or Washington or whatever franchise that might pop up out the woodwork, those are hypotheticals that potentially could happen, whereas opposed if you get a trade offer 2 weeks from now and it's multiple first-round picks, multiple players, a type of haul that Deshaun Watson warrants, I think the smartest move is to make the deal now and move on from Deshaun Watson. And there's nothing in the fan base. There's a very small handful of people that when Deshaun Watson gets traded are going to be highly upset and feel like they should have stuck with him through all of his issues that he has going on, and he's a generational talent, and he should never go. But I think the greater majority of fans feel like they're ready to move on from Deshaun Watson. So even from that regard, I mean, everything to me points to the sooner you can get a good deal done, the better. And it's not trade him away for peanuts. You're never going to do that. But if you get a legitimate offer, and when I say a legitimate offer has to be a damn good offer because you're trading Deshaun Watson, I think you make the move.
Sports Radio 610. Breaking news. Powered by Odyssey and presented by BetQL. Become a better sports bettor. Get smarter to beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today.
All right, breaking news. Tyler Milner, our trusty producer. What's the latest?
The Astros' Kyle Tucker has been placed on the injured list due to health and safety protocols. They are recalling Abraham Toro to take his spot.
Dusty's birthday gift continues to go. He's using it the next day. We obviously know Abraham Toro is one of Dusty's favorites. But the big news,
you read my face?
Yeah, I can see it, Dusty. And happy birthday, by the way. Kyle Tucker, they said he wasn't feeling well. He got taken out of the lineup yesterday before the game, said he wasn't feeling well. And now is that health and safety protocol?
Yes.
Oh, hell. That's the one now where you wonder, okay, now you start to think, well, who's he been around? Is it just going to stop with him? And I almost said this yesterday, but I refuse to try to jinx this. Hell, I may have said it. But the thought was, well, here you go. The Astros, they've been playing really, really well. I think 12 of their last 15 they've won, or 12 of their last 16, something like that. And you're like, man, they haven't even really been healthy yet. Now Lance McCullers is back, and now they've got all their pitchers back, and they're rolling into this six-man rotation for a short period of time. And now Brantley is back, and he's rolling again. And that top seven who haven't played a lot together are getting at-bats together. And Kyle Tucker was actually coming along as well, and now Kyle Tucker is out with health and safety protocols. And you hope, if you're an Astros fan, and I'm sure we're looking around and we'll keep you updated on that, you would hope that it just stays at Kyle Tucker.
Yeah.
But you still remember earlier this year, you remember out of nowhere, I remember there was breaking news and like five guys from the Astros, including Altuve and Alvarez and Robel Garcia and somebody else, Maldonado, they're all out.
That's why they struggled so much to start off the deal. I wonder this, and I'll ask the text line 713-572-4610. I know the whole vaccine deal is a controversial topic, and you see what's happening with Chris Paul and the Clippers, and you see the NFL was talking about how, you know, there's certain teams that some of their coaching staffs still haven't got their shots yet, and because of that, they're going to have to adhere to the 2020 protocols, and there's all this different consternation about getting the shot, not getting the shot. If a player on your team decides not to get the shot for whatever reason, and that is the catalyst to them not winning a championship or going on.
That's what John McClain was saying.
Yeah. Right, like thinking about Chris Paul, like I would think if he had his vaccine, there's no way he could go in a COVID-19 protocol, and they're on a run to try to win a championship. If that transpired and it worked out that way, those that are completely against vaccination, are you going to feel some type of way towards this professional athlete whose job is to play a game and to be there and be ready to play for you? Or is that something that you say, you know what? Hey, I understand the hill he's
willing to die on. Are you saying this from a fan perspective?
Yeah, from the fan perspective, because there's a lot of fans.
You know how fans
think. There's a lot of fans that feel like players should do this, and this because they're paid to play and they're under contract.
This is something that's in your control. You can't be missing games.
And if you miss a game because of that reason, is that a reason where you say, you know what? I feel him. I understand. I think it's an interesting scenario that is actually coming true, because the numbers are so down all over the place and the amount of vaccines are so up, and you really haven't seen these issues pop up like they did, you know, 3-4 months ago in every sport. It was always an issue that you had to worry about. If your team misses out on a chance of winning because of this reason. Are you going to feel some type of way towards their players? Are you going to feel like they should go get it? So this is something you don't even have to take into consideration.
It's an interesting thought because I can see some fans, maybe depending on how it occurs, right? Because I think there's some fans that could just say, all right, let's use Kyle Tucker. Kyle Tucker's just living his life, and it can happen in a lot of different ways, right? Mm-hmm. Not everyone is just putting themselves in a situation where it is more prevalent that they could potentially test positive for COVID. Like, hey, I'm going to a concert with a bunch of people or something. I think many people understand it can happen in several different ways. If it happens the way that Lou Williams, when he went to the strip to get them chicken wings, I feel like fans would say, dude, we're in the playoffs.
Yeah.
You get it? But, Kyle Tucker's just kind of living his life every day. I think fans would have, and this is not normal because many fans feel like, I'll just be honest, in my time learning this, many fans feels like professional athletes and players, especially when they're on the team they root for, cease being human beings and go to it every way that they possible because they say to themselves in their head, if I were making $10 million and I had a chance to win a championship, I would have my ass home every day.
Yeah.
Okay. But in this case, I think it is relatable that, man, it can just happen, man, in any manner. So I think there would be more compassion than normal.
So here's the weird thing, though, because you can catch COVID even though you've been vaccinated. So it's like if the leagues are pushing for everybody to get vaccinated, right? And you can still get it. It's just the symptoms that you get from the vaccinations from the actual COVID-19 virus. It's not going to affect you in the same way if you didn't have it potentially. Why are they going to hold them to the same set of COVID-19 rules where if you caught it and everybody, basically most of the people in the room are vaccinated, so it's not going to hurt anybody. Why are they saying you still got to sit out? Like, okay, it's kind of defeats the purpose of saying, hey, everybody get vaccinated so you can have these protocols in place to where you don't have to do everything. You talk about the NFL where if everybody's vaccinated, you don't have to wear a mask. You can be in person. You don't have to wear you can be back to normal, right? But then if somebody catches it, you still get put into the COVID-19 protocol and you miss games. Like, I feel like it's not lining up. And there's a lot of things that has been going on over the past year and a half or whatever since it started that it's not lining up. But it's like if you're going to reward guys or women in whatever sport that's being played for getting vaccinated and allow them to have lax standards, you can't then punish them afterwards if they actually get it and they're vaccinated. I mean, I don't know. It seems a tough deal, but I do believe that fans want players out there, and if there's something you can do to prevent it, they're going to expect you. A lot of fans will expect you
to
do
it. That's why I think it depends on if you're not. Like, and I believe, I'm not sure, I'm seeing it on the text line. I don't know for a fact, maybe Tyler can look at it. I've heard that Chris Paul was vaccinated. I'm seeing that on the text line. I'm not for certain sure.
Right.
But I do think it does matter. Like, if Chris Paul is fully vaccinated.
Like how is he in the protocol now? It doesn't make sense to me. I mean, he might have COVID-19.
If he's fully vaccinated, he has COVID-19. He has to go in the protocol. I mean, he's got to be away from everybody. Or they've got
even if they're vaccinated too.
Yeah, I mean, if you have COVID, you're in the health and safety protocol.
But why? I don't understand. The whole point of getting the vaccine is so that when you catch it, it won't affect you. You don't have the symptoms. You don't have to worry about getting like super sick, right? Or killing someone else.
But I'm still, but I would still think you can pass it, right? And if you have COVID, they would want to, all right, immediately we're going to pull him away from everybody because he could still pass it to others. Like anybody who gets COVID, who tests positive for COVID, whether you're vaccinated or not, they're going to go in the healthy.
If that's the case for Chris Paul that he's vaccinated and he caught COVID and the percentages of you catching it are so low once you have the vaccine – I mean, he's got the worst luck possible known to man. Like
many
the hamstring,
thought he was.
And it's like, damn, Chris. Like, I mean, that listen, can't win for losing.
I want to clear something up right now, damn it. Generally, they'd say in this business, you know, you know, maybe the leader or one of the leaders here is a guy who takes one for the team. No, I'm not taking this one. I'm not taking this
so
one.
So you're going to go there. At all. I was hoping Tyler was going to step up on the text line. But
I'm
going to
take this.
Up.
No, I'm not taking this one. He's not stepping up. From the text line texting in, wow, show, fell asleep. Oh, you need to focus on what Wade is saying. All right. And that one point right before the sounder for what was supposed to be
focus.
The $1,000 giveaway.
Ironic.
And there was a bit of a.
There was a pause.
There was a pause,
was a
and, a,
pause.
And a stammer. From your boy and the text line. Of course, you don't miss anything with old show. And it messes up. So, Tyler, you need to step. I'm not taking
no,
this
I
one.
No, I will. I will.
That was your ass.
I will, absolutely.
Just told Tyler, hey, all right, here we go. Let's go.
Yep, that was 45. My bad.
And now I had to come in and oh.
Was not
to,
was not on show at all.
He had to
stall there.
Get,
and now, no, I'm not taking that one.
There was a little bit of a miscommunication on my part. That was my bad. Show did not do anything wrong. I lacked
dog, man.
Focus.
You see that
in
now?
That
people
situation.
Are talking about I'm not listening.
I saw that. I saw that, and I was like, "Well, normally,
I bet the boss
Tyler
thinks I'm texting or
something." Very much, you know, in tune to the text
I'm
line.
Not
he's gonna
this
he's
one.
Gonna defend show, and yeah. I didn't see it.
No, he wasn't gonna defend me.
I didn't
He'll
see it
right
yet. I'm telling
wolves.
The people right now
he sees
that
he's
was
focused
not show.
On what's going on
he's
in here now. So that's why
now
he didn't see the text line.
He's throwing me right to the damn wolves. Someone over talking about show needs to wake up. He fell asleep. I got my
right.
sleep apnea taken care of, baby. Mm. Put that on me.
That's good.
All right. Here we go. The latest news with the Astros. And they just cannot seem to get right. Not at least completely. We'll discuss that next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.